Shalom. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. It is Friday, January 18th, 2019. Website, www.scriptureandprophecy.com. And that's where you go to support this podcast. If you enjoy it, you're being blessed by it. And I want to thank all of you who do support it and make it possible, all the Patreon subscribers, all the PayPal contributors, and those who send mail via the post office box. Thank you so much. It's a blessing to me and my family, and far more than we deserve. And so thank you for being willing to support this broadcast. Well, today we are going to resume our study in the ancient Book of Jubilees, which I've mentioned before. There was many copies of this. It was one of the highest copied. It was one of the books with the highest amount of copies found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. This and Enoch are two of the probably the most discovered books in the Dead Sea Scrolls, aside from the standard canon. So it's very, very interesting, and we've got it all together here, and we're going to be looking at chapter 10, and this is going to deal with, and the Book of Enoch deals with this as well, where demons come from. And people make the mistake of thinking that demons and fallen angels are the same thing, and they're not. They're not the same at all. Fallen angels are fallen angels. Satan, as an example, is a fallen angel. The angels in Genesis chapter 6 that came down and mated with women and produced giants and taught the people evil things that they weren't supposed to know. You know, they were supposed to teach the people about the righteousness of God, and they taught evil practices instead, impregnated the women, which gave birth to the giants. You can read about this in Genesis chapter 6. The giants were born of them. They were the great men of renown. And when God put his judgment upon them, and this is before the flood, they were killing each other. They were warring amongst themselves. And the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim, the giants, are what the demons are. Now, there used to be a lot more of them that roamed the earth. According to Jubilees, we're only dealing with about one-fifth of them. And God allowed one-fifth of them to remain on the earth to do the bidding of Satan. And this is what Jubilees is going to explain to us here in chapter 10. So I just give you kind of a rough rundown. I have done a whole series on the Book of Enoch. But it's been a long time ago, and I did it out of the whole Hallelujah Scriptures, and I need to redo it because I believe the name of Yehovah, as I've shared with you and shared the stuff with you about the manuscripts and all that, and I'm not going to go into that. I wasn't using, it was early on in my Hebrew studies, and I'm just not happy with the pronunciation of some of the Hebraic words. I'm just not happy with that series. So at some point, I'd like to redo that. And maybe 2019 is the year to do that. Maybe we'll move straight from Jubilees into that. Let me know what you think about doing that. All right. I need to stop rambling because we've got limited time this morning. Let's take a look. Chapter 10, the Book of Jubilees. And in the third week of this Jubilee, the unclean demons began to lead astray the children of the sons of Noah, and to make to err and to destroy them. And the sons of Noah came to Noah their father, and they told him concerning the demons which were leading astray and blinding and slaying his son's sons. And he prayed before the Lord his God, and he said, God of the spirits of all flesh, who has shown mercy unto me and has saved me and my sons from the waters of the flood, and hast not caused me to perish as thou didst the sons of perdition. For thy grace hath been great towards me, and great hath been thy mercy to my soul. Let thy grace be lift up upon my sons, and let not wicked spirits rule over them, lest they should destroy them from the earth. But do thou bless me and my sons, that we may increase and multiply and replenish the earth. And thou knowest how thy watchers, the father of these spirits, acted in my day. And as for these spirits which are living, imprison them, and hold them fast in the place of condemnation, and let them not bring destruction on the sons of thy servant, my God. For these are malignant, and created in order to destroy. And let them not rule over the spirits of the living, for thou alone canst exercise dominion over them, and let them not have power over the sons of righteous from henceforth and forevermore. So the demons are starting to torment the sons of Noah, basically, and his son's sons, his grandsons, leading them astray, doing many things that sometimes they do to us today. And they come to Noah, and of course this is a much greater than what we experience today. And so they come to Noah and they say, Noah, come on, you know, they're look what they're doing to our sons, they're leading them astray. And so Noah prays to God, please bind these spirits away so that they can no longer wreak havoc on our people. Verse 7, and the Lord our God bade us to bind all. And the chief of the spirits, Mastema, came and said, Lord, Creator, let some of them remain before me and let them hearken to my voice and do all that I say, that I shall say unto them. For if some of them are not left to me, I shall not be able to execute the power of my will on the sons of men. For these are for corruption and leading astray before my judgment, for great is the wickedness of the sons of men. And he said, let the tenth part of them remain before him, and let nine parts descend into the place of condemnation. Okay, so I guess we're dealing with, what, one-tenth? And so, the chief of the spirits, Mastema, which Mastema, believe just means adversary. We know who the adversary is, right? And the Book of Jubilees is getting ready to confirm who that is here in just a second. But so Satan comes before God and says, you know, allow some of them to be under my power so I can do my purpose. And God allows it. Because God, I don't know how it all works out, and we all can have our opinions and thoughts, but God has a purpose for Satan. And whatever Satan and his demons are doing here on earth, it's part of God's plan. And it also allows us to make the choice to choose God. You know, it's hard to try to grasp, and I understand why some would struggle with this. But because of Satan, because he's a deceiver and a liar and a murderer, but with that adversary, we are forced to make a choice. We can choose God. We can choose to follow the world, and he is the ruler of this world. Let's move on. Verse 10, and one of us, he commanded that we should teach Noah all their medicines, for he knew that they would not walk in uprightness, nor strive in righteousness. And we did according to all his words. All the malignant evil ones we bound in the place of condemnation, a tenth part of them. We left that they might be subjects before Satan on earth. So that right there gives you, in case you were curious, it confirms it right there. And we explained to Noah all the medicines of their disease together with their seductions, how he might heal them with herbs of the earth. And Noah wrote down all the things in the book as we instructed him concerning every kind of medicine. Thus the evil spirits were precluded from hurting the sons of Noah. And he gave all that he had written to Shem, his eldest son, for he loved him exceedingly above all his sons. Now, before I read the rest, I want to remind you that I believe that these demons that are currently bound up, 90% of what there used to be, will be released again in the last days. So these angels bound up the demons, and they're going to be released by one. We can see that in Revelation chapter 9. Let me just read that to you. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. By the way, stars in the Bible are often symbolic for angelic figures, messengers from heaven. And I've talked about this in other podcasts before, but I digress. And a fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun of the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the have power. The scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God on their forehead. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were crown, like crowns of gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of a woman, and teeth were the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots of many horses running into battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. Now there's a lot of symbology here used to describe what these creatures are like and how they behave. And I think sometimes people get that symbology mixed up. Go to my Revelation series. I don't remember everything I said about this, but I'm sure I covered this in more detail. If you go to my series on Revelation and just look for when I cover chapter 9. But I believe that is the rest of these guys being released here in the last days to torture the men and women. And though any of those who do not have the seal of God, and we know what the seal of God is, right? It's the Holy Ghost, my friends. Verse 15, and Noah slept with his fathers and was buried on Mount Labar in the land of Ararat. 950 years he completed in his life, 19 jubilees in 2 weeks and 5 years. And in his life on earth, he excelled the children of men, save Enoch, because of the righteousness wherein he was perfect. For Enoch's office was ordained for a testimony to the generations of the world, so that he should recount all the deeds of generation to generation till the day of judgment. And in the 313th jubilee, in the first year, in the second week, Peleg took to himself a wife, whose name was Lomna, the daughter of Sinar. And she bare him a son in the fourth year of this week, and called his name Reu. For he said, behold, children of men have become evil through the wicked purpose of building for themselves a city and a tower in the land of Shinar. For they departed from the land of Ararat eastward to Shinar. For in his days they built the city and the tower, saying, go, let us ascend thereby into heaven. And they began to build, and in the fourth week they came, they made brick with fire. And the brick served them for stone. And the clay with which they cemented them together was asphalt, which cometh out of the sea, and out of the fountains of water in the land of Shinar. And they built it. 43 years were they building it. Its breadth was 203 bricks, and the height of a brick was 1/3 of one. Its height amounted to 5,433 cubits and 2 palms. And the extent of one wall was 13 stades, and of the other 30 states. And the Lord our God said unto us, Behold, they are one people, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be withholden from them. Go, let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech, and that they may be dispersed into cities and nations, and one purpose will no longer abide with them till the day of judgment. And the Lord descended, and we descended with him to see the city and the tower which the children of men had built. And he confounded their language, and they no longer understood one another's speech. And they ceased then to build the city and the tower. For this reason the whole land of Shinar is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound all the language of the children of men. And from thence they were dispersed into the cities, each according to his language and his nation. And the Lord sent a mighty wind against the tower, and overthrew it upon the earth. And behold, it was between Asher and Babylon, in the land of Shinar. And they called its name Overthrow. And in the fourth week, in the first year, in the beginning thereof, in the fourth and the 13th Jubilee, were they dispersed from the land of Shinar. So there we have the Tower of Babylon scenario. And God was not happy that they had all become one, because God has, for whatever his reasons are, he likes to have nations. Different nations of different people. And so he brought down the Tower of Babel. Now, is today not unlike then? We've developed technology that allows us that now language is no longer a barrier. The whole world is now once again connected. I'm telling you, it's hard to see, but we are living in the same days as the days of Noah. And you remember what Jesus said. It'll be like the days of Noah. All right, we're almost through this. Verse 28. And Ham and his sons went to the land which he was to occupy, which he acquired as his portion of the land of the south. And Canaan saw the land of Lebanon and the river of Egypt, that it was very good. And he went not into the land of his inheritance to the west, that is, to the sea. And he dwelt in the land of Lebanon, eastward and westward from the border of Jordan, and from the border of the sea. And Ham, his father, and Cush, and Mizraim, his brothers, said unto him, Thou hast settled in a land which is not thine, and which did not fall unto us by lot. Do not do so, for if thou do so, thou and thy sons will fall into the land and be accursed through sedition. For by sedition you have settled, and by sedition will the children fall, and thou shalt be rooted out forever. So the issue we have here is that Canaan has settled in Lebanon. And if you remember, a couple chapters back, Noah divided the land amongst his sons and told them where they are allowed to be, where they're allowed to settle. And Canaan's not obeying those laws. Verse 31, Dwell not in the dwellings of Shem, for Shem and his sons did not come by their lot. Cursed art thou, and cursed shalt thou be beyond all the sons of Noah, by the curse which we bound ourselves by an oath in the presence of the holy judge, and in the presence of Noah our father. But he did not hearken unto them, and he dwelt in the land of Lebanon, from Hamath to the entering of Egypt, and his sons until this day. And for this reason that land is named Canaan. And Japheth and his sons went towards the sea and dwelt in the land of their portion. And Madiah saw the land of the sea, and it did not please him. And he begged for a portion from Elam and Asher and Arpachshad, his wife's brother, and dwelt in the land of Midiah, near to his wife's brother until this day. And he called his dwelling place and the dwelling place of his sons Midiah, after the name of their father, Madiah. And that, my friends, is the end of chapter 10 of the Book of Jubilees. And I hope that you found it interesting, if nothing else. Maybe it helped fill some gaps. Maybe it helped answer some questions that you might have had about the demonic world. Maybe it's caused you to ask more questions, which sometimes is the result of study. Well, I'm out of time, my friends. That's all I've got for you. I pray that it's blessed you and served you well, and I pray that in the name of Jesus. Peace and grace be with all of you, and until next time, God bless.